leader. I mean, the dude did everything. LSU. I got to ask him how he escaped the state of Florida and attended LSU. I don't like that.
You know what Spadoni said at the break as I was scarfing down a Bob's donut?
What was that?
Shout out Bob's. Excellent donuts. The best. I had a chocolate, then I had a glaze. I went double. Okay. He goes, I think Patrick Peterson's last interception came against Jimmy Garoppolo.
Oh, boy.
We got to ask him. I bet he remembers.
Oh, I bet you remember. Yeah, he remembers all his interceptions.
You have to.
We have Patrick Peterson, right? We have Mari. Patrick Peterson. We're joined by Odyssey NFL insider Patrick Peterson, host of the Odyssey original podcast, First in Pod, and insider calls are brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. Mayo game day, be delicious. And he joins us on the River Islands guest line. Patrick Peterson, good morning and welcome to the Odyssey family.
Good morning, guys. I'm happy to be a part of the family, man. I really am.
Oh, man. So I got to get this one out the way. Before we talk about your career, talk about football and everything like that, I understand you're a Florida kid, and I'm a Florida State fan. Don't ask me how. I'm from San Francisco. Don't ask me how. How the hell did you escape the state of Florida and attend LSU? I mean, I know LSU is like DBU, and they're now wide receiver U, but how did the state of Florida let you escape from that state and go to Louisiana to play football?
Man, it was a difficult decision for me, but at that time, Florida State was going through sanctions. University of Miami was pretty much going on a downhill. Really didn't like the University of Florida, so I started opening up my options, and I felt like LSU was the best option for me because going there, pretty much their whole secondary was leaving. They never had a Jim Thorpe winner there, so that was my goal, to be the first Jim Thorpe winner at a university. So that mission was pretty much set and accomplished. And and I pretty much became a trendsetter at a university by putting them on a map to be known for something, and that's DBs.
Patrick, was your last career interception against Jimmy G?
No. My last interception was Bengals. They had a backup in. I cannot remember his name.
Was it Brandon Allen?
It might have been Browning.
Browning.
Yeah, it might have been Browning. Yeah, I think it was Browning in the end zone. Sunday night football. So that was my last interception. But Jimmy was my 35th interception of my career.
The fact that you know it was your 35th. So you probably, we don't have to do this right now, but you could probably name each interception ball, your first, second, third, and you know exactly what quarterback you got it against?
Yeah, I do know majority of my interceptions for the most part. The quarterbacks. I know I got Tom Brady. I got Sam Bradford a whole bunch of times. matter of fact, man, the Rams was like my favorite team playing against, especially early on in my career.
Fisher.
Every time I played against them, I got an interception or a punt return for a touchdown.
I love that. We have a sound drop that we always play, and, you know, we have, like, PTSD Jimmy G because just losing the way we did to the Rams, and I know that the Niners are going against the Rams. Troy Aikman, NFC Championship game, like, listen to this sound. We can't get out of our head. So you bring up Jimmy G, and we think of this.
I'm afraid that it's going to have to be Jimmy Garoppolo that gets it done.
Oh, we just laugh every time.
Let me ask you, Patrick. Were there certain quarterbacks, whether it's Bradford or Jimmy, or whatever it is, and you guys are studying film all week long, and we'll get to today's NFL, and I got some questions about cover two high safety and Mel Kiper Jr., what the hell he said yesterday, which I thought was ridiculous.
Vontae's head's going to explode.
Yeah, but what is it like in a film room when you know, oh man, this guy's going to throw a couple up, man? Are you guys fighting like, yo, I got to be in this position? What is that like, Patrick?
Oh, yeah, everyone in the DB room. In the DB room are licking their chops, man. It's like, oh, man. It's not necessarily calling it a stat game, but you know you're going in the game knowing that some quarterback's going to give me an opportunity. You know what I mean? So while you watch a film, be like, all right, ooh, I might have an opportunity to jump this because he believes in his arm strength that he can fit it in that window. Or you might have quarterbacks like a Kyler Murray that's a shorter stature that can't see over the line of scrimmage, so you may have opportunity for more tip balls. You know, so it's things like that when you're watching film that you're licking your chops on when you're getting ready to play for a game. And so going back to that, I made a comment last year when we played the 49ers. And
I was aware, Patrick.
But the thing is, people took that in the wrong way because, like, I watched film, and I felt like there was some tails in that game to where I have an opportunity to snag one. And I did, and I just dropped two of them. You know, so that's where it just goes back. I wasn't, you know, talking down on Brock or anything like that. I'm a competitor. I watch film just like him. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So my goal as a defensive back is to get an interception every time I step on the football field. But, you know, people took that the wrong way, and he did end up throwing two touchdowns on me. That was all good. But that's just the game,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah, you play long enough, you're going to get dunked on. You're going to dunk right. on somebody. That's how it works, you
right.
know?
Right.
When you're breaking down Brock Purdy, like in the film room, like imagine the audience right now is part of the film room study. Like, what are you saying as you're watching him? And how would you describe him as a quarterback, and especially when you look over the landscape of other players that play the position?
So, like, for me, especially have an opportunity to play against Brock and have an opportunity to game plan against him and watch film. Like, he's almost like, it's just their offense. You know, they are inside the numbers offense, passing game wise. So if you look at majority of Brandon Ayuk routes, he's running skinny slants. He's running, not skinny slants, he's running glance routes, skinny posts. You know, it's very rarely that he's running out routes or a team, Brock Purdy is throwing the ball outside the numbers. So if you're able to pack the middle of the field and force the San Francisco 49ers or Brock Purdy to beat you with their left hand, then you can get them in the passing game. But the running game is what sets up the passing game for mm-hmm. the San Francisco 49ers, setting up the play action, setting up the boots, setting up the screens. So that's a task in his own, trying to stop the run. And that's what makes them so lethal, because their running game is so efficient. It just makes everything come together.
Patrick Peterson here on the Morning Rush on 95.7 The Game, and Insider Calls are brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. You can purchase Hellman's at your local Walmart, Kroger, or grocery store to add extra deliciousness and creamy flavor to your game day dishes this football season. So Jay Gruden has some comments about the drop back passing game with the 49ers yesterday, saying, look, they're a great first and second down team, but on third down, their vertical passing game, I'm not too fond of it, basically, is what Jay Gruden said. So you're basically saying this, and we see notice this too, all the everything inside the hash marks and everything with the 49ers. Mm-hmm. So you do believe their vertical passing game, if they have to throw outside the numbers consistently, they can be had in the passing game?
Yes, they can't do it. I mean, how many times have you seen the 49ers throw just a straight nine ball?
Yes, we don't see it often. I've been begging for it.
And you're not going to see it.
Wow.
You're not going to see it.
Is that a function of them never dialing that up? Is that just how they play off? Because, like, okay, for the laymans out there, for the people that don't understand, because the nine is you know, the go route, and obviously there's a route tree, but I don't know how many people understand that. So as best you can, break it down. Like, what makes Andy Reid's passing system so different from Kyle Shanahan's drop back passing system? If you were to just, you know, explain it to a bunch of 12 and 13-year-olds.
Right. Andy Reid is a little bit more spread out. Like, he has those speedy guys on the outside of the numbers, and the quarterbacks that he normally gets have big arms that can make those long throws outside of numbers. And his vertical game, far as his scheme, has always been down the field, even when he was with Philly.
Yep.
You know, now when he first got to Kansas City, you remember he had Alex Smith, and he could not throw the ball down the field, so now he had to alter his game plan. But he still had the opportunity to take his shots, but it wasn't as often when he was with this with the Philadelphia Eagles, and now when he got Patrick Mahomes as his quarterback. So in his scheme, he understands how to spread guys out. And Andy Reid never really had a big-time running game. Like, he had an efficient running game, but it really wasn't predicated off play action this, play action that. Andy Reid just understand the spacing aspect of it in the passing game. Now, Kyle, on the other hand, he understands the spacing of it in the running game, and his offense is more compact.
Interesting stuff there, because we see in the fourth quarter, Patrick Peterson, in these big games, whether it's the LA Rams in the NFC Championship game, whether it's the Kansas City Chiefs or the Super Bowl, it's a trend that happens where when they're behind in the fourth quarter, they're unable to come back and rally due to their vertical passing game. Oh, Oh, we got to get him back on. I think he fell off.
He was really good.
Yeah, no. Well, he's coming back on. We'll get him back on.
Because Sean Payton made these comments, and we'll play them.
Jay Gruden
made these comments, and he referenced, hey, Sean Payton's passing system and Andy Reid's are very different from Kyle Shanahan's. And you and I have had this discussion, I think it was a year or two ago, where I was like, I just think the drop back passing game leaves a lot to be desired. Like, when they're down, you know, they have a very difficult time. And the data tells you, like, hey, when they're down seven or more, I think you were, what are they, 1-31, 1-32?
It's not good. It's one
but
way.
But why is that? Because I'm not sophisticated enough, and he's explaining it.
You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM, and AC1 San Francisco and Odyssey Sports Station, always live on the free Odyssey app. We need to re-rack this sound and play this because this is very, very fascinating. As we effort Patrick Peterson back, let's play the Jay Gruden sound.
Yeah, play it.
Let's play the Jay Gruden sound right now. Jay Gruden, the shed-head off run game is great. However, the passing game leaves a lot to be desired.
I think it's all predicated on the outside zone is that what really they made famous, and then the play actions off of it. Really, I think their passing game is pretty much nothing really special. Their protection schemes are a little, when they get down or they have a lot of third downs, they're not quite as effective as something teams like an Andy Reid type guy. But first and second down, these guys will kill you. If they're having success on first and second down, they have a litany of play action passes and boots and leaking the tight ends out around the backfield and the runs they get going. They're very schooled in how they want their run blocking to be. They have different variances off the outside zones with the sifting and very creative ways to get to the same spot, which is what I liked about how they ran it. I actually think Kyle's best season as a play caller, we had Robert Griffin as a rookie. I mean, he put in some plays nobody's ever saw, the zone reads with the sifting tight end, and then they're bluffing that guy, and then he's keeping it with the lead blocker, and then they're pulling it out, throwing a glance route right behind to Pierre Garçon, and then finally the lead caught up with it. They were starting to fall back a little bit on some of these sift blocking, but that first came in, he was giving defenses nightmares. And he's definitely a great play caller, first, second down, probably one of the best.
All right, so what about his struggles in known passing moments?
I'm just not a big fan of his true pass concepts when he's down, and he knows. I'm just not a big fan of them. I don't know. I just don't understand a lot of them, and that's just something you have to continue to work on through OTAs, training camp, and all that stuff. You got to prepare to be down. You know, it's a lot easier to call plays when you're ahead by 14 points on first and second down than when you're down. Not many coaches have had a lot of success calling plays down, having to come back. It's very difficult when you're a one-dimensional team. It's very difficult in the NFL to have success. I'm not saying that I did have a lot of success. I'm just saying from a pass game standpoint, when I study teams, that would be one of the last teams I would look at as far as pass concepts go on known passing situations. I'd go elsewhere and look for other pass concepts.
So how are we feeling about those statements? How are we feeling about those statements? I know there's a lot of people punching air right now because we're not, because trust me, I'm not going to do it. I'm going to let the pros do it. This is something we've talked about over the last year and a half, 2 years, whatever it is, about the drop back passing game and the vertical passing game, throwing outside the numbers. Uh-huh. Everything's in the middle of the field. Uh-huh. It's car accidents
spots
left and right.
On the field.
You know what I'm saying? We got Patrick Peterson saying it, who played this league at a very high level. This is a 3-time All Pro. He's broke down what the Niners do offensively, what their passing game is all about. Jay Gruden, as a former coach, say, look, man, I'm just not a fan of their drop back. When I look at vertical passing games, I go elsewhere. I don't look at Shanahan. So is that going to catch up to them? Is that going to catch up to the 49ers? Because in their biggest moments, Shasky, their vertical passing game has let them down.
Well, I look at it this way. Not everyone has a strength in every facet, right? And so there's some things you're going to do really well, and there's other things you're not going to do really well. So Patrick says it very bluntly as we were talking to him. He's like, Andy Reid's not great with the run, or at least not dedicated to the run. So that's kind of his little, flaw, but he's great at the passing game.
Well, think about it. Yeah, Brad Childress as a spread game analyst for a long, long time, trying to figure out the spread game and what the innovation of the spread offense and the jet sweeps and all the movements and all that stuff. So he's right about that, using every blade of grass on the football field, whether it's going east, west, or north or south.
But like, I think it was a big bugaboo. A lot of people like, it's clock management. Oh, you got it back?
Yeah, we got it back. Oh, hey, Patrick, we dropped you off there. Appreciate you spending time with us, man. You're really good on this, breaking down, and you're educating the audience here. Go ahead, pick up where you left off. You remember where you left off?
Yeah, I do remember where I left off. I was talking about the Kyle Shanahan offense. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, his offense is more compact inside the numbers to where he's running the football, linemen, with the different movements with the offensive linemen. So he's more dedicated to the run game, far as now when he's running the football, he's sucking those, like getting those linebackers' eyes stuck in the backfield, those defensive back eyes stuck in the backfield, to where now he can hit those intermediate passes behind the linebackers. And that's what kind of makes his passing game go, because he's big on the running game. You know what I mean? So, and look at all the quarterbacks that he had. He really never had a quarterback that had a big arm to throw the ball outside the numbers. He always getting quarterbacks that's real good with those intermediate passes, because that's what makes his offense run. And so, the passing.
So what does Sean McVay do? Because it sounds like he's more in the Gruden camp than the Shanahan camp, even though they work together. What does his offense look like?
His offense is a little bit like a Gruden. Gruden is like, see, Gruden is an offense that it's kind of like a well balanced offense. Like he wants to run the football, but he also wants to take his shots. And McVay has a little bit more creativity in his play calling, as far as with the jet sweeps, with the jet trying to identify matchups on the defensive side of the ball. And he does a great job on finding matchups. I think that's what he do a great job at, Sean, on finding the matchups that really, really go after. And he is a good coach on putting his guys in position to be successful.
Patrick, before we let you go, Mel Kiper Jr. made the waves yesterday, and it really derailed the show, because I couldn't believe what I was hearing. I love defense. I love a 17-16 game. I love a 21-17 game. Everybody loves points in fantasy football, 45, 42, 38. Like, I love football. I love all aspects of it. So he said, you know, the NFL should think about banning two high safeties, cover two safeties, whatever it is, two high safeties. I mean, I'm just thinking to myself, what are we doing here? We've already catered all the rules to the offense. We've already catered to them all the time. So I know you being a defensive player who had the ability to play on offense and return punts and do all that stuff. Right. I know you probably cringe listening to that as well, because my theory is offensive line play has never been worse. Not having preseason, September, it's going to be a lot of sloppiness here. What was your thoughts when you read that headline or heard that headline from Mel Kiper Jr., Patrick?
Man, because I was like, come on, just like you said, we already can't tackle as it is. They came up hip drop tackling. Like that, we want to make the game safe, but at the same time, like, we're, our job is to get the guy on the ground. Like, you have to also understand that we're playing a physical game. I know, track real quick. I'm gonna come back to that comment, but I know that our job is to get guys on the ground. We play a physical sport, so there's going to be collisions. There's going to be injuries. That's out of our control. So, with these new rules that's coming in each and every year that's catered to offense, it's just like, God damn, you might as well just take the defense off the field. And now you got Mel Kiper Jr. talking about the safeties are playing too deep. My goodness, like, can we play defense? Like, now you want to dictate on what the defense is playing. So we might as well don't even go to practice no more. We already know what defense we're going to play the defense that the offense want us in, and now we're just going to go play football and just hope that we can make plays. Like, no. Like, they have to find a way to get better on trying to get their guys involved in the game. But defense, hell, we had to catch up. You know, back in from 2006 to 2010, the league was all predicated off physical. Run. From 2011 to about 2008, then you start to see the lead start to change a little bit more. So the lead started passing a little bit more, and then that's when it was all one high safeties. So defensive coordinator started to say, all right, all these teams have started to become pass happy. Everybody started to abandon the run. So let's put ourselves in the best opportunity to keep teams out of the end zone. That's our job, to keep teams out of the end zone. Why would we want to continue to see long ball go over our heads and the bad plan and everybody got, you know, on highlights on SportsCenter? No, that's not fun.
No, you're right.
I was almost passed out when I saw Mel Kiper make that comment.
Patrick, man, this is really good insight, man. We all feel smarter. We all have some things to talk about, especially with the Shanahan offense, because we're a little befuddled in these late game situations in a vertical pass game in which you got to win. You got to win on third down. You got to be able to make throws here. Yeah. So it's very interesting. We'll be watching the game with some of your thoughts in our heads here. Patrick, thanks so much. And again, welcome to the Odyssey family, brother.
Man, thanks for having me. I can't wait to speak with you guys again.
Absolutely.
Hell yeah.
Patrick Peterson, 3-time All-Pro. He's a Pro Bowl, perennial Pro Bowler, one of the best punt returners we've seen. Really good player for the Arizona Cardinals for a long time. Then went to Minnesota and, of course, the Pittsburgh Steelers. That was Odyssey NFL insider Patrick Peterson, host of the Odyssey original podcast, First and Pod. Insider calls are brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. Mayo game day, be delicious. Wow. Wow. I'm going to just say this right off the rip, Shasky. We don't talk much about Purdy's contract or what he may get.